Now, in case you didn't know, Life Matters, along with Sporty, the sport and exercise program here on RN, is offering you the chance to win a gold, silver or bronze medal, yes, by participating in our fitness challenge. It's where we've asked you to take up some new physical activity to build up your fitness and your health. That you actually do this through to the end of August. And then by midnight on the 1st of September, we require you to send through an account of how you've gone. And the email address, sporty@abc.net.au. And that could put you in the running to win a medal. And also for the winner, the ultimate winner, a $200 sports store gift card. And of course, eternal glory, which is a given. You can take up this fitness challenge, whatever your abilities or limitations. Perhaps you're living with a disability. Maybe you use a wheelchair. A few days ago, Amanda Smith, the host of Sporty, went for a run with me. And we filmed it. And when you see that, you'll know what a broad church this challenge is. This week, Amanda is taking us to Sporting Wheelies in Brisbane to meet one of the exercise physiologists there and also one of the regular exercisers.
I'm Wilfred Wyman. People call me Will. And I've been coming to Sporting Wheelies gym for about 7 years now. I thought the gym would be full of these buff wheelchair athletes playing rugby and basketball, and I'd sort of come in here and be the little geek, but it's definitely not like that. I've got a progressive paralysis, so my legs are paralysed and it's gradually coming up my body, so we'll do a range of exercises, one to strengthen the little muscles I have left in my legs to try and keep me going on crutches and wheelchair. And then the core work is to keep me upright. In the wheelchair particularly, you see everyone slumped. And for the shoulders, when you're in a wheelchair or even on crutches, shoulders cop the hiding. And they're trying to make them last as long as possible without having shoulder reconstruction.
What can seem like small changes can make such a big difference to someone's independence and function. Christian Wonka, I'm an exercise physiologist here at Sporting Wheelies. I guess working here, we've had to become quite innovative and creative with some of our setups and the way that we try and work with our clients. So I guess having that understanding and know-how and just experience over the years, but also we do have adaptive equipment here. So you might see machines at a normal gym, whereas we have quite similar machines, but you've got seats that can spin out of the way, so chairs can access them quite easily. Yeah, there's always ways to work around those things.
For about 20 years now, I've been getting worse and worse each year or so. So initially it was very frustrating and mentally anguishing, but now I suppose I've sort of settled in my mind that, yep, I am going to be paralysed and I'm getting worse over time. So my goal is to just keep going as best as I can. And the exercise, it keeps me, stronger. And then that sort of improved my mental capacity to deal with problems and so on, yeah.
There we are. That's just the Sporty Wheelies gym in Brisbane. And you can hear more on exercise and fitness if you're a wheelchair user on Sporty with Amanda Smith tomorrow morning from 10:30 on RN or on your ABC Listen app anytime. Now, chronic pain might not be regarded, strictly speaking, as a disability, but it can be an obstacle to exercise. And anyone with chronic pain knows how disabling it can feel. Daniel Balavi is the Associate Professor of Exercise and Musculoskeletal Health at Deakin University. Sorry about that, Daniel. In the Institute for Physical Activity and Nutrition, his studies have a special focus on back pain and exercise. And given that according to Australian government figures, some 70 to 90% of us have some lower back pain in our lives, that's an important thing to find out more about for an awful lot of us. Daniel, hello.
Good morning, Michael.
70 to 90% of us having lower back pain at some point. Yep. I imagine that's only getting worse during the sedentary times of COVID.
Yeah, well, it certainly is a big problem. And it's something that over time in society isn't getting better with an ageing population, in that the risk of getting back pain or the likelihood increases as we age.
So what are we doing wrong? What was it? Is it just we're sitting too much? Is that the issue?
Well, sitting and being sedentary is potentially a risk factor for getting back pain, but it's not a clear risk factor. I mean, there's other factors such as psychological effects, say depression, anxiety, which are bigger risk factors for getting back pain.
Mm. And just because you have back pain doesn't necessarily you mean have chronic pain. How do you define that within the back pain sector?
Yeah, well, chronic pain is defined as when pain has lasted for 12 weeks or more, and it's really important to differentiate that from acute pain. Say someone hurts their back, there's a different kind of different guidelines or different ways you should be people should be treated, or people or what kind of treatment people should seek if they have acute pain versus if they have chronic pain.
Okay. All right. So if there are the obvious discomforts and distresses to the individual, if we don't address this in a more effective way, what are the long-term impacts on our health and also the systems that cope with our health?
Yeah. Well, it's obviously for the person suffering from chronic pain, it's a big impact on their lives, mate, because they'll be, it's harder for them to work. It's harder for them to participate in their family life and their daily life. And obviously for society as a whole, it impacts upon productivity, it impacts on the workforce and everything. So this is a big problem to consider, and back pain is the greatest cause of disability and lost productivity worldwide, in particular in developed regions like Australia.
And yet back pain, even though we can say it's in the back region, is often described as non-specific. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, in about 90 to 95% of cases, a definitive diagnosis can't be made. And there are a small percentage of cases where the doctors can say, okay, there's specific parts of the spine that are affected with more specific suggestions for management. But in the overwhelming majority, there's not a specific diagnosis that can be found. And so currently, the recommendations for this is for chronic back pain, for example, is for doing a structured exercise program, perhaps psychological therapies depending on the patient, and also maybe manual therapy manipulation of the back.
So at the moment, I understand you're undertaking a study to investigate more about what's actually contributing to the, and maybe I'm overstating this, but I would call it a back pain epidemic. So tell us more about your study. What are you up to?
Yeah, well, one of the big questions is that we know, for example, if you've got chronic back pain, it's more likely that you might have some changes in your spine. So say degeneration in the discs in the spine. There might be some changes in your brain and central nervous system that potentiate the pain persisting. And also we know that changes psychosocial changes like depression, anxiety, that they can really have a contributing factor to that chronic pain. But what we don't know yet is the extent to which they contribute relative to one another, which one's more important.
Right.
You know, and if we know that, we can start treating better.
It sounds to me like the issue of back pain following on a theme here is as much a wicked problem as some of the other things we've been discussing today. This is wicked as well. There's no clear cause and effect necessarily. There's things working in concert, which means the outcomes or the solutions, the treatments have to be in concert as well.
That's true. I mean, I should say that currently we don't have quite clear guidelines as to what we think works or what we have evidence for working. And as I mentioned before, so exercise and psychological therapies and a few other kinds of treatments are considered effective for chronic back pain. But yes, you're right. To make a bigger dent at the burden of back pain on Australian society, we do need to be able to better target treatment for people to say, hey, if you've got these sorts of changes or these kinds of measures on psychological factors, hey, we probably should think about this kind of treatment. And that's something we don't really know very well yet. It's something we need to work on, which is why we're doing this next study.
If I can speak personally just for a moment, I, like a lot of people in this country, have some form of scoliosis where the spine is actually sort of distorted in its pathway down the back. Can that be remedied over time?
Because I'm not an orthopedic surgeon, I wouldn't comment on that too much in terms of the time course of scoliosis. But we do know, as I'm sure you know personally as well too, that can be a contributing factor to having persistent back pain.
Okay. All right. So in a general advice sense, if I have lower back pain, what areas of the body in terms of health, exercise and approach should I be targeting, and in what fashion?
Well, I think, as I said beforehand, we need to be careful about, is it someone who's just hurt their back? If you've just hurt your back, right, it's not recommended to do a specific kind of exercise. It's recommended to have relative rest. For example, you shouldn't lie in bed and do nothing, but you should just do what you can within the limits of how you feel, and having some treatments that maybe, for example, having massage or maybe spinal manipulation, those kinds of treatments may help in acute pain. But then if you have someone who has chronic pain, chronic back pain, so where pain lasts more than 12 weeks, then it's really important to have a structured exercise program, say, for example, with a physiotherapist or a clinical exercise physiologist, to take you through a structured exercise program where you can work on things that are important for you for your daily activities and for your work. And also, as I mentioned before, considering psychological therapies or that being integrated into your treatment, into a multidisciplinary treatment.
I'm getting a very strong sense here from you, Daniel, that really you should seek professional medical advice before embarking on anything so that they can actually diagnose what's causing and then move forward with some kind of prognosis and treatment.
Definitely, definitely.
Okay, that's really good advice. Daniel, thank you very much indeed, and good luck with your study. When do you expect an outcome on that?
Well, we're getting started now, and or as soon as, like, should we say, lockdown ends in Melbourne, get started, and then I reckon mid-next year I'll be able to come back to you with an answer.
And let me ask you, I have to ask you, how's your back?
Fine, actually, thank you. Well, one would hope so if one studies back pain, one knows how to avoid it.
Good, because during a study, of course, you're sitting down looking at computers all day, and that, I would imagine, is contributing to so many people's reasons for back pain.
Yeah, ironically enough, sitting is not a risk factor for back pain, but we can do that in another radio.
Oh, really? Oh, yes, we'll have to have you back on. Okay. Daniel, great to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Wish you a nice day.
Daniel Belavi, who is the Associate Professor of Exercise and Musculoskeletal Health at Deakin University. You can find out more about his study about back pain on our website. We'll post a link there. Don't forget, too, the Sporty Fitness Challenge. It's all open for you now. It's time to start having a diary at home, a daily one, just about the efforts you're making to get yourself back into a better state of being, health and fitness-wise. As I said, there's a video that we'll be making in the next few days of Amanda Smith, the host of Sporty, and myself doing a bit of running together. And that'll inspire you because you know how much of a low base you can then move from. Yeah?